Welcome to the Tanz im August Podcast. This podcast series is part of the Tanz im August Festival, presented by HAU Hebel am Ufer. This year, it takes place from the 9th to 26th of August in 11 locations in Berlin. Several artists from this year's program have been invited to participate in a conversation. Each episode seeks to offer insights into their creative process, uncovering what's behind the decisions they made and the knowledge they gained along the way. The artists tell listeners about their current and past projects, revealing detailed information about the work that will be presented during Tanz im August. In this episode, Riccardo Carmona, artistic director of the festival, talks with Chiara Bersani. She will present her new work, Sottobosco, on 18th, 19th and 20th of August at HAU 2.
Hello, Chiara.
Hi.
It's really nice that we have this moment to talk. We were just talking before the recording and the festival will start in 1 week. Mm-hmm. So we are recording this before you arrive here in Berlin. And for those who don't know you, I would invite you also to introduce yourself and also maybe speak a bit about your work.
Okay. It's very nice to be here now because it's like a secret space in some way. I don't know that it's not secret in the final, but I don't know, in that moment it's like a private conversation and it's very nice. My name is Chiara. I am an Italian choreographer and performer and activist for people with disability. It's not so simple for me to explain who I am in some way because I think that I stay in the middle before a lot of different things. And I love the things that I haven't a clear definition.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to present a work from you that is called Sottobosco.
Mm-hmm.
We could translate that word into English by undergrowth, yes. Which means that it's the plants that grow closer to the ground in the forests and also mm-hmm. underneath the trees. And I will be curious to hear from you, why did you decide for this title?
Because the secrets. In the Sottobosco, there are a lot of secrets. And in general, I think that in my work always there are something of secrets that is not a really secret. It's something that I want to share with the audience, but again, without a definition, like my identity. Something like a suggestion. And the Sottobosco, in some way, is the same. It's a word that also for the Italian people is a strange word because it's something very close to the nature, but also to the fantasy, because a lot of imaginary animals and creatures lives in the Sottobosco. And I like also that it's not so simple to find a translation in the different language, because every time there are something a little bit different in the different language, in the Sottobosco or Underwood, or I don't know, in German.
In German is Unterholz, which is underneath the trees, underneath the woods, yeah. And in Portuguese, actually, I don't remember if there's a specific word for that, actually. Yeah.
I think it's interesting because we discovered that not every different idiom have a translation of that word. Sottobosco is a word that is with me in my mind from a long time, concretely from 2 years, but I think that is myself maybe from a very, very long time, and is about a lot of things, but in particular about the community of people with motor disability. A community that it's very, very, very difficult to catch, to find. The world is full of people with motor disability, it's clear, but how our bodies and the different societies in some way don't help us to make a really community of people. A community, I mean, a web, a strong relationship between the different bodies and the different people. It's interesting also that now, thanks to the internet, the web, and also thanks to the 3 years of pandemic, and with a lot of things happening in the web, the discussion about around the concept of the community for people with disability is a discussion that now it's exploded in some way. For me, to talk about the relationship between people with disability and other people with and without disability is something full of contradiction and complexity. And so in this Sottobosco, I decided to try to look in face all my ghosts and all my nightmare and all the question about the relationship or the not relationship between the different person and the different bodies in our society when you put the disability like the first step of the relationship. And so Sottobosco is similar to a little experiment to build another landscape in which the rules are building on our bodies. So the first bodies in that new landscape is a body with a disability. And it's a landscape for everyone, but yeah, but the base is starting from our bodies.
But the word also implies a connection with nature.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were talking about the project and before we had the premiere, I remember also you also spoke a lot about nature.
Yeah, absolutely. When we start to thinking concretely about Sottobosco, we were in a pandemic, in the second Italian lockdown. And me and the musician Lemmo, we spent it with another theatrical company, a time in a theater in a wood in Italy. And I remember that the timing that we spent in that theater, that it was a long time, like 1 month, was a totally different experience for the different bodies that are involved. I mean, for the bodies that are more performative in athletic way, it was a beautiful experience because they can spend it all their free time, I'm sorry, in the wood, working and running and making a lot of things that maybe in a city during the lockdown, it wasn't possible. But for me, that I am a woman in wheelchair and with a fragile body, for me, the wood was like, in some way, a big prison. I don't like use that metaphor, but in that moment was perfectly because the wood wasn't accessible. It's a very wide wood, so wasn't accessible for me. And for all the time, I saw my colleague spending their time in that free space. And for me, that space wasn't free, but was like a bad space, a dangerous space. And so we started to talk a lot, me and Lemmo, about that two different approach and also the reaction that these two different approach provoked in myself and in my colleague, because my colleague every time that went in the forest know that I can't go. And so that thing is not invisible. It's clear. It's a fact also for them. And also for me, one of the questions was what I feel when they go and I stay here and I can't go. And so we started on that question. And after that, we started to talk about a lot of topics about the relationship with the nature, because during the pandemic, again, there was a big narrative about the sweet nature, the nature that is welcoming for the humanity. And we know now the narrative, it's a different again. It's like, okay, there are a strange moment between the humanity and the nature. And again, also now, it's like if the narrative every time need only clear definition, but the relationship between the human and the nature, it's so complex and so full of different shadow. And it was interesting because in some moment during our dialogue between me and Lemma and also my colleague, we talk also something like very provocative, like, okay, so if we want a world for people with disability, we need to destroy all the forest. no, it's clear that it's not the answer. We don't tell that. And so it was super interesting to see in the complexity of the different relationship between the different subjects. So people with disability, without disability, animal and nature. And one day I arrived at that image, that it was the first image of Sottobosco, and the image concretely is again a question. And the question was, what's happening if maybe tomorrow morning a little group of children with motorial disability wake up and they are alone in the forest? What's happened to them? We worked a lot around that thing. And it was interesting because in the first time of the research, also with Giulia Traversi, the co-dramaturg of the work with me, it was interesting because in the first time the answer was always they can't live, they death. In maybe in one day, maybe in 2 days, I don't know. And so we decided to start from here, from that impossible, the things that we can see are possibilities for them. And we started to imagine some different story for them. And so we tried to rescribe all the story of the universe. And we tried to describe a new universe in which maybe the first human are a humanity with disability.
It's nice that you speak about this imagination of the beginning of the universe. Because during the show, there's a poem that you wrote that it starts from that point, that the universe is beginning. And also I know that during the process of creation, you also wrote poems and texts that then we can also listen during the show. And why did you choose this first topic about the beginning of the universe?
In some way, it was a restart. In reality, we are starting from the first question about the children. Mm-hmm. But in a moment, are happening two things. One was a production thing, and it was that we spent a lot of time in little residences in Italy, funded children with disability for to work with them, because I'm not a baby, I'm a woman, and so if I want to talk about childhood, I need to meet children. I can have a lot of memory about my childhood, but our memories are not now, are not the present. And it was very interesting and shocking at the same time to discover that in every city in which we try to meet children with disability, it wasn't possible. It wasn't possible for a lot of reasons, because maybe the theater wasn't accessible, because the team wasn't able to find children with disability, because we discovered, for example, that for a lot of team that we involved in the research, for a lot of them, people with disability are people with sensory disability or with learning disability, but not with motorial disability. It's like if the children with motorial disability in some way are ghosts. I don't know. It was a big surprise for us. And one day, we're talking with a psychologist that follows family with children with disability, and she told us a very interesting thing, and it was the children with motorial disability don't want to be part of a community of disabled people because they want to try to stay in the world of the able children. Maybe they changed the idea when they became a teenager or adults, and they changed something in the idea of the identity, but when they were children, it's like if they are in the middle between so many worlds that they won't try to stay in more cool world. And it was super interesting to discover that. And it was super interesting also because in that moment when that psychology told me that, immediately I remember that sensation. I remember that I accepted the disability as a part of my identity when I was adults, not when I was children. And so in that moment, it was in some way shocking for us to make that discovery. And we're starting to ask why we need to have that moment in which we want to try to be different to us, why we want to be like other children, also if our experience is different for a lot of things. And I think that it was that moment, more or less in the middle of the production, something changed in my mind. And I remember that I starting to think, okay, so I want to rewrite everything, but not in my performance, in the world. I want to restart everything. Also, I starting to read a lot of things about the nature in the poetical way, not the nature in the scientific way. And also during the romanticism, the imagine for the nature always are close to perfect bodies, beautiful bodies, feminine bodies. And it was super interesting because the story of the universe, in reality, is not full of harmony. It's full of explosion, violent moment that change everything. And thanks to the explosion, the evolution of the universe was possible. And so I think, okay, but the universe and the nature have a story more close to my body, that is a body with a fragile skeleton, and so in with I broke my legs and my arms a lot of times, and maybe it's more similar to my story, the story of the universe. And so I started to rewrite. Initially, it was an exercise for me, and the first time in with Julia read my exercise, it was her that told me, maybe the work is that, it's there. And so we started the work from that little poem.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for sharing this process. So you refer many times also about writing and poetry. Is this writing a part of your creation process, a part of a creation method that you use to create choreography?
Yeah. Normally, I use a lot of words in my work and a lot of texts that I write, but normally all that production stay in my notebook. And it was more secrets again. In reality, because I'm not so sure. It's like if the poem in particular was something so definitive. Like if you pronounce something, the thing is here, is in the world, is a word, is clear for everyone. And I have a so deep relationship with the literature and the world that every time I super scared to put the text in my work. But from a lot of time, I feel that desire. And sometimes I try something close, for example, in Gentle Unicorn, I write a letter for the audience, and that letter is sharing before to the performance. But I don't know, in some ways, like if every time the words are not in the performance, but around, and now is in the center of Sottobosco, finally there are something about all that poetical production that always is close to the performance. So maybe it's a new phase of my life. I don't know.
I mean, you just also said that literature and poetry plays an important role for you. Do you want to share some of the books or poets that you read for this process?
Oh, wow, yes, there are a lot. There are one in Italian is Le Porte del Paradiso. So
The Doors of Paradise.
Yes, from a Polish author, Jerzy Andrzejewski. And for example, that novel, that is a novel that I really loved it, talk about a group of children in a time that is not clear, but maybe during the Middle Age, medieval, okay? And I don't know in English, crociate.
Crusade with the children that go, yes.
Is that, and it's an imaginary story about the children crusade. And in that book, the author imagine this group of children that's starting to go in a wood in a night for start their crusade. And during the book, you discover that initially, they talk about the love for Jesus and something of that, but by step, you discover that every one of them are starting that travel because are in love for another of the children that stay in that group. Mm. And it's incredible because it's a very short novel in which everything is present, the relationship with the nature, between children, about the love in the childhood, about the passion, about the closing relationship between passion and religion. It's an incredible book. And I think that it was the more important during the creation of Sotto Bosco.
Yeah, I also remember in the early phase that also you spoke about Emily Dickinson.
Emily Dickinson, a lot of poem of her. Also, my relationship with Emily was very strange. Like the relationship with the identity like disabled people, person. Because when I was more young, like teenager, I hated Emily Dickinson, totally. Not for the poem, but for her life. I hated the idea that she decided to stay in a private space also if she can stay in the world because she's with a privilege. And, you know, when we were teenagers, everything is super clear, no? And for me, she was a woman that had a lot of opportunity and she decided to don't use that. And so it was like, I spent a lot of time when I was young in a hospital. And so the topic about stay in the world and stay in a room for me and for a lot of people with disability was a big question. It was a big point. And so the idea that that woman built all her production in her room because she don't want to go in the world for me was crazy. And I hated her. After that, when I became adult, I discovered again that she was a super complex woman. And when I started to read about her, I immediately totally fell in love for her poem. During the pandemic, again, I'm starting to reading a lot of biography about her. And I arrived to Emily Dickinson from Virginia Woolf, in reality. And again, during the pandemic, I read some article that Virginia wrote in different moment and for the first time or translated in Italian. In one of that, she talking about Emily, and in other, she talking about her body in a moment she needed to stay in the bed because she had a sickness, I don't remember what. And so I put a connection between that two incredible woman and poet, and I started to read about her and about the poem that Emily wrote on the nature and the eternity and the death. There are a poem that she wrote about the death that is incredible. And it's like in the last 2 years, Emily was so present in my life that is present in Sotto Bosco and in another performance that is L'Animale and in the article that I've written. And it was for a time a little obsession. I live a lot of opposite position with Emily, but now I'm sure that I totally love her.
Thank you. It's so beautiful how you describe that actually all these connections that you have with poems, literature and texts, they are around the choreography, but they are not totally part of it, yeah. Maybe I would go back to your collaborators and to speak a bit about them, because you mentioned already Julia and Lemo. Maybe
yes.
I think it would be interesting also for everyone to hear how you work together and who are they, yeah.
Usually, I love to work with a group of people because I'm sure that it's not possible to prepare something that talk about complexity if you are alone. You need a lot of different point of view to stay in the complexity and don't stay in a simple answer. And Julia maybe is the person that is present in all my work because we have a strong relationship between 7 years, more or less. And our relationship is very fluid because we're starting like a manager and performer and maker, but in reality, it wasn't so clear, the relationship, because always Julia spent a lot of time in the studio with me. We talk a lot during the research. So in a moment, we decided that it's clear that our relationship is also a relationship between a true dramaturg and not only manager and maker. And so we're starting to work really together in the research. And for example, actually, for Sottobosco, it's the first performance in my life in which I don't write the words that we share with the audience on the paper. And for the first time, we decided that the word is not my word, but my word is only the poem word that are inside of the performance, but all the words that are around the performance is Julia words. And another important presence is Lemmo. Lemmo is a young musician. And we meet one each other during the pandemic. In a moment, like everyone, we were very confused. And we started to work together during the second lockdown for a performance for Summer Edition, the project of Lisa Zilardino de Vanekleyeva. A project for delivery performance in some way. And our first project, it was so a project in distance, like happening in that time. And it was so beautiful to work together that we decided to work again and again. And when we started to talk together about the first question around Sottobosco, I asked him to stay with me all the time of the creation. That is something very strange for a musician, but it was clear from the first moment that the sound was the base of Sottobosco. Also, in the moment in which it wasn't clear for me who became performer, if there are performers, I haven't any idea about the scena, but it was immediately clear that the Sottobosco was the sound, the nature was the sound. And so Lemmo is a super important presence in that performance. And the other super important element is Valeria Forti, that is the light designer of the performance, and also the person that imagined with me the form of the landscape. So we projected the landscape, the temperature, the color, the material. And so, like in the nature, is a dialogue between different elements, and every element has the same impact on the space. And so the light is one of the three. And other important person is Elena Sgarbossa, the other performer that leaves the space with me. The story with Elena was different again, because Elena in the performance more or less 6 months ago, so very close to the premiere, and in a very, I don't know, in a very strange way, because I invited her to spend 1 week together during a week of research in December 2022. And initially was only a sharing practice moment, because I needed also to try to observe the practice that I have in my mind with other performers and other bodies different from mine. And I remember that it was one day in which we tried to share a practice together, me and her. And during that day, that exercise, it was clear for me that to design a new landscape, we needed to be minimum two. And that it was amazing that she stayed with me to explore that new landscape. And also because that landscape is very open to the other people, it's important that there are two different ways in which the two different bodies can live inside that. More or less, that is the big heart of the collaborator. And there are a lot of other people that stay around the Sottobosco. But that is the heart.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you just now spoke about like how you work together. And I also know that the pre-premiere happened in Santa Arcangelo and mm-hmm. you did the performance in a field, so outside. When you were preparing the work, did you also move between the inside or outside, or you worked mainly in the studio and then you went to the performance field for the presentation?
During the research at Sottobosco, lived different phases, and there were a lot of phases in the first moment when we are only in three, me, Giulia, and Lemma. There were a lot of phases in which we spent day in the nature, really in the nature, because we want to explore different possibilities for that performance, and also because in the first time, it wasn't sure for me that the performance would be for the theater. Initially, I spent a lot of time thinking that maybe the performance are something that happened really in the nature. All the possibilities were open. And step by step, it was clear that, in particular, when we started to work about the idea of the new universe, it was clear that we need to stay in a theater because we need a space in which really we can build something totally new, totally different for 1 hour. And in Santa Arcangelo, the pre-premiere, it was like a big event for us, big, but because we have a strong and beautiful relationship with Tomek, and the idea to present it in an open space, in the nature, arrived thanks to the dialogue with him, and was like a point of meeting between our project and his project. And it was something that talked about also the relationship with the vision of that creator. And it was difficult and beautiful. It was a moment that needed a lot of care because in the open space, in the nature, there are a lot of things that you need to take control, in particular because in Santa Cangela we worked with four performers with disability that they stay in a wheelchair, every one of them. So there were a lot of things that maybe in theater are more simple to control and in the nature not. But it was possible to do that again because the relationship with the festival and with Jonak and all the equipe of the festival, and so was really a collaborative moment. And also because we spent in Santa Cangelo more time than normally we spend for the tour of that performance. Usually, I think that the space for Sottobosco, really, it's strange for me, but it's maybe it's really a black box space that is not my favorite in my life. But for that performance, that we really need that for a moment, everyone are involved in another dimension. And if the nature is present around us, the nature, it's more strong than everything. But if we really trust for 1 hour that the things that we are seeing is another nature, is more interesting, I think. It's true also that all the work that we make it about the open space, in the natural space, now in our producing different little things, different workshop, or for example, a walking in Cagliari, in Sardinia, in south of Italy. We presented a walking with the performer with disability, and it's all of that are material that arrive from the resorts of Sottobosco. And I think that there are a lot of material that are arriving again.
Part of the project, and this is what we're going to do also in Berlin, there's a workshop that happens before the performances. Why did you decide to implement a workshop connected to the show, and how is it important for you for this project?
Initially, the workshop for me would be the essential part of the performance. Initially, the performance in a moment of that 3 years, the performance in my mind was composed only from people that we met in the workshop. Honestly, only from children we met in the workshop. I remember that it was one of the first dialogues also between me and you when we talked in Berlin the first time. And it's true that one of the big things that we think about the possibility to have children with disability on stage was also the possibility to control, sorry for that word, but I think that is correct, to control the gaze of the audience around the body. And I know that if I share the space with the adults, or also teenagers, but not children with disability, the gaze of the audience is maybe more respected, I don't know. I discovered that I was scared about that thing. Also angry, because in a part I think also, oh, wow, fuck, why I can't share that the children with disability are present in the world and maybe they want a space. But when I discover also that maybe they don't want that space because maybe they are not sure that they want to be identified like part of the disabled community, it was clear that I'm talking about another part of the community. And when we started to change the call and we started to make the call during the research for adults with disability, we discovered a lot of people that feel the desire for different reasons to share a question, to have dialogue, to stay on stage, to stay in the performative world. And in that moment, the big question for me was, I can prepare a space only for them without me. And this is again my desire. But I discovered that maybe I wasn't ready to find a good strategy to build a space so autonomous, so wild, so dedicated to. And so I decided to prepare a performance, my sottobosco, like in the staffetta, when you pass something to someone else. And so it's like if I open the space and I try to leave the space for other person, other people. And it's for that that the workshop is so important, because if there are no one that arrive in my space, if no one live in Sottobosco after me and Helena, Sottobosco stop to exist. And so it's like a utopical way to build a community. Maybe not so utopical, because in that last 2 months in which we have the pre-premiere and the premiere and some different workshop, but more close to the presentation of the work, a little community are starting to build. And so maybe it's possible also to use a performance to build a community, or maybe to put the days. I don't know, it's a question. Maybe we can talk again in 5 years and we discover if it was true or not.
So, but actually this is then connected to what you were saying in the beginning of our talk of your need to create a network of people. Of course, the work is just beginning, but are you keeping the contact with the people that you had in the workshops before?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. And yesterday, for example, 2 people that I meet in a workshop now are part of a new performance that I'm building. And for example, in Santa Cancelo, it's happening that there were a girl that were a student too and are close to the graduation. And during the days of Santa Cancelo, she explained that she had a strong desire to work in the performative world, but she live in a city in which there are nothing for people with disability, and also that she want to don't stay in the network of people with disability, but she want to stay in the festival, in the real work. And during the day of Santa Cancelo, maybe thanks to the fact that Santa Cancelo is a big but small community, a lot of connection are starting between that young girl and the people of our world that come to see the performance. And we start to talk a lot, and so now sharing contact with the university you have in Venice, and she write an article about her experience, and sometimes Canzulo represented the article in the website. And so, and someone that are part of a group are starting to know someone that are part of another group of the workshop. So we're trying to build the web also because in that performance, we work with the idea of a secret language. And it was also that it was one of the first ideas that we have. And the secret language in some way put in connection the different people.
Yeah, that's very beautiful. Thank you. I also think a lot about how performances and choreographers, when they come to the festival, can leave traces and create a network in the city where they're performing. And it's not only like arriving, performing, and then leaving immediately. So I think your project, for example, as many others that we have in the festival, have that also idea of leaving traces and then maybe come back in a few years to see what happened afterwards. Yeah, yeah. Chiara, thank you so much for this talk. It was lovely to talk with you. And we're going to see each other soon. And also the public is going to see your show here in Berlin. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.